Langan's going to send that one into Murphy. Murphy out ahead of the fullback. Here comes Langan. Oh, it's opened up for Michael Langan. Langan draws it in the back of the net. Donegal have got a goal.
Highland Radio's Road to Croker, in association with Highland Motors Letterkenny and the all-new Renault Symbioz. Affordable, luxury driving with high tech. From only €249 per month.
So we are back for round two of our big match countdown. We're here in the Clannery Hotel as we gear up for Donegal's All-Ireland Final. We had a super first half where we had the legends of 92 having the crack and talking some serious football, and a couple of new breed of legends up on the stage. We'll hear from them shortly. 2012 winners Ryan Bradley, Frank McGlynn, and probably the most recent All-Ireland winner and All-Star of the lot, Ronan McNamee from Tyrone, is here. And his mother's a good Donegal woman. I met her outside there, and I promised her that we would go easy on Ronan. So we did. But anyway, we'll be talking to the lads shortly, getting their thoughts. We've got goodie bags to give away. Michael Murphy Sports goodie bags up for grabs this evening, which has your essential Donegal needs for All-Ireland Final Week. There's everything there from, I think it's headbands to footballs to bunting, that sorts of stuff.
Actually, there's a lock of Michael Murphy's hair on it as well.
Oh, yeah. Mary Murphy gave us a couple of his first curves to put on it. How does that sound? But Michael Murphy Sports have kindly given us the goodie bags, which are packed full of stuff. There's a voucher to spend in Michael Murphy's shop as well. Plus, we have also thrown in Backstage Restaurant at Century Play, Watson Menswear, Main Street, Letterkenny, Callaghan Electrical, Burton, Letterkenny, and O'Donnell Mace and Go Fuels in Crawley, Kilmacrennan and Elstron. There's also vouchers for each of those businesses available in our goodie bags as well. So they're stacked full of stuff, and we thank everybody who contributed again to our goodie bags, and to Paddy at Bizprint, who kindly donated the envelopes tonight as we raise money for the Northwest Special Olympics. Will we give one away? Yes! Where's my right-hand man, Pius McFadden? Up you come, Pius. Come on up here, Pius. You manage the steps, good fella. Go to Mr. Ryan Bradley, good on his showing man there to dig deep. If Linda can hear me, maybe she'll take me in two goodie bags. We should have them up on stage here. Oh, who's this? Okay. They're going to have to share it. Darlene and John Joe Gibson. Oh! Come on up, John Joe, up you come. If Linda can hear me, maybe she'll bring me in two goodie bags. Corrine's the way to get them. John Joe, you know what? I'll come down to you. Jeez, you're a big tall man, hey? Come on over here and stand in front of everybody. Hi.
I'm very shy.
This is. I'm looking up.
No, I'm very shy.
How are you?
Good, good, good.
We have to talk now because I forgot to take the goodie bags in.
No.
We can't curse because it's live on radio as well.
Sorry. Oh.
Listen, what are we going to do on Sunday?
We're going to win.
Hey, what?
A couple of points will do grand. As long as we won that.
As long as we won't get Sam.
Exactly.
Well, you know what I've got for you now? Come on over, Corinne.
Tell me something.
What?
Is there tickets in that goodie bag as well? No.
No. Don't. I'll get you tickets for the bingo on Friday.
Oh, that'd be
is that all right?
Thank you.
Give John Joe a round of applause. We've got our goodie bags. Get the other goodie bag now. Pius, open that up. And we'll ask our guest, Ronan, to pull out one. See if he pulls out a Tyrone name. Pius, Ronan's the other one. That's Frank. God.
He's a soccer man.
Clay United FC from way back 25 years ago. What do we have here now? Okay. Right.
Mickey Hart.
Gavin Devlin. Nah. Now see here. I'm going to try this, okay? Brianna McDevitt, is that right? McDermott? Brianna McDermott. Oh. I tell you what, you hear you before you see you. Come on over, Brianna. How you doing?
That's good, how are you?
Are you all up for the final?
I forget the tickets, so if anybody has any spare, don't forget me.
Are we going to win away?
Definitely.
Definitely, yes.
Okay. Well, listen, you're going with the Michael Murphy Sports Goodie Bag, which is here, packed full of Michael Murphy Sports Goodies and loads of vouchers to spend at businesses in Letterkenny and Donegal. So enjoy. Give a round of applause.
Thank you so much, Icy. Thank you.
There you go. That's Brianna McDermott. It's okay. Yeah, coming back up here now, Pius. We'll give away a few more later on. Is that all right? And if you haven't put your envelope in the box, Pius is the man. Right, we've got the panel to come. So we have. But before that, Brendan. As we said at the start, Eamon McGee unfortunately couldn't join us tonight, but we'll be speaking to Eamon, I'm sure, before the final. And Gavin Horst-Devlin, do you know who he is? Yeah. Mickey Hart's right-hand man. We thought we'd get a neutral view and a couple of Tyrone boys, but unfortunately, Gavin couldn't join us. So what we're going to do is play a clip of Gavin.
Hey, the horse had the tail between the legs, and he chickened out. That's too many animals, is it? But anyway.
Don't confuse the thing.
Sorry, sir.
Don't confuse it. Right, Kevin, roll clip number one, the smash one. Yeah.
Devlin's jammed it.
I got an arm wrestle, and this is where my ego comes in, because I didn't want to beat him in an arm wrestle. I wanted to smash him. I wanted to batter him. And that's on me. That's on me. I didn't want to beat them. I wanted to smash them up. And, yeah, ego.
Gavin Devlin wanted to smash Donegal as Derry assistant manager. That didn't work out too good, did it, Brendan?
No wonder when Mickey went to Offaly, he says, horse, your day's done.
So, you can only imagine the touch that Gavin Devlin was going to get from us tonight if he was here.
I thought he'd be a perfect pantomime villain. Yeah. But now, Ronnie, you're going to have to take that up. He's too nice, this man. I can't do that to him. And he's got Donegal blood.
Yeah.
I'm kind of related to him, you know.
Are you?
Well, Trasa's family heals Verda from Doon.
Hang on a minute. Trasa's related to him, not you.
But can you? It's family. It's Ireland here. We'll connect it. I've got cousins in America. They're about six.
I'm not even going down that
lane. You're my cousin. No, but actually, he is related to Trasa.
Right.
And she is my wife, so I don't know.
So he could have played for Gidor.
Well, more who Duhuri, wasn't it? So more Narasa. And I'm sure after the Sweeney transfer, Boner would have tried to get him in.
Yeah. We've gone totally away from the Gavin Devlin stuff altogether. Because we're not finished with Horst Devlin.
Sorry. We have to throw this to Mike then first, Ronan. Did you ever want to smash Donegal goal?
It's PG, isn't it? That every time looking enough to play against them, that's how I thought.
Of course you did. That's championship. We wouldn't expect your family's here tonight. He's got backup, by the way, folks. Just be careful. Don't mess with the McNamees and this. And he has done Donegal blood, so we give him a big pass. But Roland, were you surprised at Devlin coming out and being so honest? I mean, after you had your bottom, I'm allowed to say that, handed to you. After that happened in the championship game, particularly what happened in that Derry Donegal, could you believe they came out and first of all admitted that what he wanted to do, but he was so like, I want to smash Donegal. I mean, it was red rag to a bull, but part of me actually underneath it kind of respected him, for being honest. What was your, obviously he coached you, what was your, I suppose, your experience of him with Mickey and how much say he had in tactics? Because I couldn't believe that he called that in terms of, it looked like the rest of them was against the tactic.
That specific game especially, Hart wanted to, like any time you played against Donegal, you nearly had to mimic how they played and try and stay in a game for as long as you could. And say in the last 10 minutes, maybe run the bench and hopefully turn it in your favour. But he wanted to go gung-ho, you know, and it was just him against Jim McGuinness. Like that was nothing else. It wasn't.
That's a bad person to come up against.
You know.
I don't fancy your chances.
Because when Jim came in, was it 2011? After taking under 21s, like he got obsessed with Tyrone, and Horst came in then with Tyrone, maybe say 2014. So at that stage, Donegal turned the tables on Tyrone, so he got obsessed with Jim McGuinness, the same way that McGuinness was sort of pushing the Tyrone thing at that stage, like, and the Mickey Hart thing. So these boys will know more about it, but they'll probably not say much about it. But
Frank.
No, he definitely did push it.
In terms of smashing, Frank, there was only one smash you could have here at your time.
Well, we had our ups and downs, I suppose, against Tyrone when you look over the years. But I suppose, as Ronan said, any game you're going into, you're looking to smash in whatever other word you want to put on it. But you're looking to come out on top anyway, at the end of it.
Yeah.
I suppose Jim did. He did push that Tyrone were going for three in a row whenever Jim McGuinness took over initially in 2011. They'd won two Ulster titles and they were going for their three in a row. And I suppose there was always something that Jim was driving, and I'm sure there's something that's been driven since probably his first year in charge this time as well, and that drive for the All-Ireland, and there's probably a team, hopefully it's Kerry they're talking about this time, and I suppose the pinnacle of it might come on Sunday.
Yeah, and Ryan, that emphasis on Tyrone in them early days, was that big? I mean, there were stories about jerseys and different things, and was there a lot of talk about taking Tyrone out, that was where we needed to be if we were going to be serious about winning Ulster and then ultimately being All-Ireland challengers?
There definitely was. I remember after the first few training sessions, that's all we focused on. Jim said that, why is Tyrone the best team in Ulster? Why can't we be the best team in Ulster? And I remember Frank, it was always, we planned for Ulster semi-final, was it July 17th or something? That was all he focused on for the full year.
Yeah.
We're training for, we're going to win our games, Tyrone's going to win their games, and we're going to meet in the Ulster semi-final. And it came through. Mm. Thankfully, we beat them 3 years in a row after.
Well, listen. Sorry.
You know what? We got obsessed with Gavin Devlin. We actually forgot to play a song.
I thought you were playing a song.
Poor Darren Boots sitting behind you with a guitar.
I thought you were playing the song. Darren, I thought, listen, you're in charge. I'm just here making up the numbers. Sorry, Darren.
Darren, how you doing, Darren?
Jeez, if any can talk, I'll tell you.
I can't sing, though. That's your job.
Right. Time for another bit of music. Are we up for it? Back on stage, the wonderful Darren Boot. This is Donegal Has It All.
We wrote this a few years back, folks, about how good it is to be from this wee part of the world we call County Donegal. Our own wee piece of heaven up here in Donegal, the big wee county up to north, we are the envy of them all. From Mullinhead down to Glen and the places in between, the crackest saints of people are the best you'll ever see. So I'll sing a song for the hills of Donegal, Ghost Don't Shave, Daniel, Paddy, Bonner and them all. You can travel all around the world from York to Senegal, no finer people you will meet than us here in Donegal, of Donegal. If you find yourself in bother, help is never far away. Collect a car from the bar in the bog or at the hay. The people here in Donegal will never see you stuck, but cross the line and you'll be told to clear away tap. So I'll sing a song for the hills of Donegal. Ghost Don't Shave, Daniel, Paddy, Bonner and them all. You can travel all around the world from New York to Senegal, no finer people you will meet than us here in Donegal. One, two, three, ho! Well, there's music here in the hills and the people that you meet, and a welcome that wouldn't knock you back clean off your feet. Well, they say up here is different, and I'm sure you'll all agree, and we'll raise a glass and drink to health to the folks like you and me. So I'll sing a song for the hills of Donegal, Ghost Don't Shave, Daniel, Paddy, Bonner and them all. You can travel all around the world from New York to Senegal, no finer people you will meet than us here in Donegal. So we'll sing a song for the hills of Donegal, Ghost Don't Shave, Daniel, Paddy, Bonner and them all. You can travel all around the world from New York to Senegal, no finer people you will meet than us here in Donegal. No better people you will meet than us here in Donegal.
Oh, super stuff indeed.
Hi, folks.
The brilliant Darren Boot. We thank Darren for coming along tonight. We're going to have a bit more music for you as well coming up later on in the show, but it's time to talk serious tactics. Time to talk serious football, and what is it going to take for Donegal to win an All-Ireland? Plus, we'll be recapping on the wonderful times of 2012 with Frank and Ryan, and Ronan will be telling us all about Tyrone's All-Ireland success in recent years as well. But heading it all up, live on Highland Radio tonight as well, across the Northwest on air and online at highlandradio.com and on your smart speaker, wherever you are across the world, in association with Highland Motors. And it's all been teed up by Mr. Brendan Devaney.
Yes. We're going to get all serious and tactical now, all right? So hush in the room while we tell you how this game's going to go. All right? And whatever we say now, that's it. Take it from us, we're experts. Well, these three men are. And Sinead Brin's out there and her lovely daughter. We'll give her a round of applause, our PRO. Don't be shy. I tell you what, there's a woman that loves Donegal, loves her job, and she's brilliant at it. We're lucky to have her. Lads, we're going to get ripped into this game. And why not talk about David Clifford, and rightly so. Here's a man who knows how to mark him. So he can give us the lowdown on how to take Clifford out of a game. Go ahead there. Make sure that mic's on now. This is important.
Probably best doing it today or tomorrow. Just above the kneecap.
You marked them, of course, 19 and 21. 21, that handy All-Ireland that just won in the lockdown. But, no, listen, that's a joke now. We have plenty of Tyrone. Is there any Tyrone people here tonight? Watch your back.
Watch your back. That's the heavies there. That's the heavies. Ballyclavas in the back pocket.
Listen, it's great fun, but I was thinking back, particularly to 21, obviously. Tyrone played such an amazing brand of football. You kicked the ball, but you backed yourselves at the back, a bit like the modern tactics. Yourself, McKiernan and Hampsey, I mean, a brilliant full back line, but you basically did go man-to-man, and you did handle the threats that Kerry had.
That game, like, I remember thinking the night before that game, I was 30 at that stage, and you could feel your body slowing down to an extent, and the game was, like, the forwards that you were marking were getting quicker, the game was speeding up, like, the talent that's on display now, regards to 10 years ago's, like, night and day, compared to, like, the modern technology of a phone. You used to have, like, a 3210 Nokia, now you have an iPhone. That's how footballs went, like, it went from a bog-standard footballer to an absolute athlete now. And I remember thinking the night before that either I'm going to be in an All-Ireland final in 2 weeks' time, or David Clifford's going to retire me. So I didn't sleep.
But folks, when you think about that, like, and as the lads have said, even though to us Michael Murphy's the best ever, at the minute the most destructive force in football by a long, long way is Clifford. And this man has the job. Can you imagine the night before going to bed thinking, I'm against this guy, but listen, there was no better man for the task.
You done what you could. Whether it was the dark
arts. Was it all about the dark arts?
He couldn't. I knew it wasn't good enough to go gung-ho football-wise, like, whereas Tony alluded to Brendan McCall. Like, Brendan's going to have his hands full 100% on Sunday, but I have no doubt that he can mix it with the best. Like, I think, to back up what Tony said, I think he's definitely been the best fullback in Ireland this last number of years. He was shafted out of an All-Star last year. Whether that you take that personally or not, like, he could get his All-Star this year, and I'm sure he would rather a Celtic Cross off the back of it than no All-Stars at all. So, but regards to Clifford, just you tried to nullify it as best you could.
Can I just ask you, listen, you're a really nice guy, I know that, but when you're on the pitch, things are different, okay? So was there verbals, or was there a bit of nipping or tugging, or what way did you go about it? We need to know.
Yes.
Probably texting McCall after this.
There was whatever went. No holes barred.
Oh, brilliant.
But no, in all seriousness, he did do, like, I'm not saying now what I done, but done some things.
It'll come out in the book.
It will, well. But because of the standard of footballer that he is, he had to do something, like, to try and put him off his game. But
which
it's the
sort
of man that he... it nearly doesn't, like, I was watching Hamsey take lumps out of him for 70 minutes last weekend, and
yeah,
he kicks 1-9, he doesn't care, like, you know what I mean? So you maybe need to get phone numbers or something.
Yeah. Do you know what, I was sitting watching the game with Owen Mulligan, and he was so pissed off because Clifford was enjoying himself. He was like, he was, you know, beep, 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 but he was like, this man's just enjoying himself, which is a dangerous prospect. Frank, before we get into the game and that, just a bit back to the brilliant time under Jim, you know, them amazing years. We went from the Armagh defeat in the championship in 2010 to, you know, this run that just blew everybody away. But you're right in the heart of it now. I was just thinking about you, Frank. Like, you could literally play anywhere. You're a classy player. You could read the game. How much did Jim bring you on as a player, or was it in the group that you grew? Because some of the performances, no more than the man to your left, you just grew into this force. But how much was Jim kind of personally coaching you, or was it just the growth of the team around you as well?
Yeah, I suppose there's no denying. I suppose I probably started in 2006, and probably that was my sixth. You know, you were there yourself, and during those years, and I probably progressed more in the first 6-7 months under Jim than what I had the previous 5 or 6 years, and that probably wasn't down to the, as you said, probably wasn't just down to the man management alone. It was just the type of group, the collective that Jim has created. And I suppose if you go through this current team, the similarities are striking, you know, from ourselves in 2012 to the current team. These players probably had one of their most disappointing years previous to that, hit rock bottom for them, and it was probably something that they were never used to. I suppose for us, probably in 06 to 010, we probably weren't used to the heights of being successful, but these players were used to it. They were used to winning Ulsters, and suddenly they have that blip of a year then, and I suppose Jim comes in and changes that around. And to go through the panel, you know, from 1 to whatever it is now, 40 or whatever it is, or 34, I think you could probably stand over the statement to say that every single player in that group has improved, you know, in this past 2 years, or even improved even further. That, like, Zakir Moore there, you know, that came in last year, but to see his progress again on top of that, you know, it's unbelievable, I suppose, to sit back and watch that improvement. But it's a knowing that it is that collective unit, that you're almost just willed and forced to be the best version of yourself, because you're in that mix of that collective amongst the group. And that group is created by Jim. You know, there's no other creator of that group. It's just a vision that he sees, and he just sees the group being created in that way. And I suppose that's the one thing that puts the most faith and optimism for me going into the game on Sunday, that collective of Donegal probably will be what's going to get them over the line.
Yeah, for sure. Brilliant stuff, Frank. Ryan, your story is one of the best, because you had almost kind of, you were about to give up on county football, and the work and the level that you put in there, just and the couple of seasons, and you just were unreal. Like, let's just say you hadn't got a six pack at the time, and you're honest with that yourself. But you put in so much work to get yourself into peak condition, and then you just exploded on the scene. You were one of them kind of go-to players every game. You just, the shift you're putting in, no more than anybody else. Listen, I just fucking love watching you, because I haven't played with you, and I know you got a wee bit disillusioned with it at a point, but then you come back in, and just unbelievable time under Jim.
Yeah, like Frank said, I was probably in and out of the panel since 2005, and probably no fault of me, or probably more my own fault, that I wasn't putting in probably the effort that was required. And, you know, Jim got the job in 2010, and I had a meeting with him, and he just laid it out straight. He just says, I can see a position in this team for you, but I'm not going to guarantee it. You have to put in the work to do it. And I seen the training the boys were doing, and I seen when they done the under 21s, so you know, I wanted to be a part of that, you know, I wanted to give it a go, and very privileged that I got the chance to do it, you know. It was hard work, don't get me wrong, it was 3 years of tough training, but it was worth it. But it makes you believe, you know, it makes you believe you're a better player, you know, it makes you stand taller, you know. Every night in training, he was, you know, it was always positive, positive, positive. He would talk to you every week, you know, and like Frank says, you can see, you know, he's doing that with this group of players. They're going out confident in every game, you know, they're full of confidence. They don't think they're going to get beat any game the way they're playing. And that's how we felt, probably more so, not 2011, but 2012, when we got the second year under our belt, you know, we were full of confidence that year because he made us believe that we were good enough. And I can see it now with this team, you know, the second year in, they are standing a bit taller, you know, there's a great bond there. You can see it on the pitch, the way they're fighting for each other, working for each other, and you know, if we get that this Sunday, I think we're going to be very hard to stop.
Yeah, let's hope so, for sure, for sure. Mr. McNamee, your own men faltered. What can we learn from Tyrone's performance? Like, how disappointed were you from a fullback? Like I mentioned that time you were in with Hamsey and McKiernan. The way Hamsey seems to be left exposed. I know it was easier, obviously, and to tighten up and you could drop on sweepers, etc. That's a bit more difficult now. But did you feel, Hamsey, that I suppose the marking job in terms of going after Paddy Clifford and Sean O'Shane, that was there an element that Donegal can learn from in terms of, and the boys have mentioned, if you're tracking players, you don't have sweepers. Now, Donegal won't do that. They will sit. But then there's a risk of coming from deep. But did you think Hamsey was very much left isolated? Or was that a job he just had to do and he wasn't able?
I think it was sort of caught between two stools in a way. He was definitely isolated. Dick Throne would not have wanted to leave the space that was there. You're obviously going to leave a certain amount of space now whenever you can't pack the defence as much, but I think we tried to squeeze the ball too far out the field, and ultimately our half-back line was out around the middle of the field, and there was just 30-35 yards of space in front of green grass for them to kick the ball in. So like, Donegal will not make that mistake, you know, whether it's a case of sitting in and prolonging it for as long as you can and then going after it. But like, Tyrone got off to a really good start against Kerry. And
a decent start to the second half too. I mean, Canova's two-pointer, they were in it.
And like, if I'm to be critical, like, there was a stage where Joe McCollum took a free back, like, we really kind of had a two-pointer, brought it back to a goal. Yeah. And he decided that the advantage was up, brought it back for a free. We went short with a free, dropped it short. They went down the field and kicked it over the bar. So from it going to a three-point game, it swung it to a five-point game or a six-point game in the space of maybe 10 seconds, 15 seconds. So, but I do think we're a couple of years early. Throne's like lesson on it, like, but regardless of Donegal on Sunday, Donegal won't leave that same space.
Do you think, Ron, just on that team in 21 and the lads had it in this team, is there a kind of leadership thing nearly in the spine of a team, a great team, that I can't see actually at the minute in Tyrone? I can be something like Petey Hart, I know he came on, you know, the likes of Donnelly and that, but Donegal can play through certain players that kind of are able to, at the right times, and particularly obviously Murphy does everything at the right way at the right time. But we seem to have a leadership thing in there. Do you think that's missing a wee bit from Tyrone? And it'll come, but it's maybe missing at the minute. I know McKiernan was off as well, but they look like a team maybe didn't know their own identity enough to beat Kerry.
100%. Definitely missing. Like, say for Donegal, if Murphy or Oisin Gallen or somebody slows it up, like Michael Langan's been carrying the torch for two seasons, playing phenomenally well at a really high level. There's 10 boys that will carry the torch if the main men aren't pulling their weight or having an off day. Whereas I felt like if Dara Canavan didn't kick you 10 points, I didn't know what our forward structure was. I didn't know what we were going to do, how we were going to turn up. It just felt like we didn't have a plan. And I know, obviously, we did have a plan, and that's not the case, but it looked like that. You know, and with the work that the boys are putting in, it's not really fair to look at it or speak about it that way, but, like, just looking in from the outside, it felt that whenever the cotton thrust of it, we just weren't there. We had no real backup. If Dara didn't go and kick you 110, then we're in big trouble.
And listen, Oisin's dad's here tonight, Farah. Yeah, everybody. There's 20% off all haircuts next week for anybody going to Crow Park. You have to show your ticket to get 20% off, even if it's a Tony Boyle perm with the blonde hair. Folks, listen, Frank, just getting into tactics. Shane Ryan, great kick out, the short kick out position, number one here. Kick outs are going to be massive, you know. He can go right or left, you know. He likes to go to Murphy, O'Bugley act. Is it a big thing about our press and initial? Because if either team outdoes the other team in primary position from the kick out, they're going to win the match, Frank. So our press is going to be massive. It's a difficult one with Ryan.
Yeah, that's it. I suppose Tyrone probably set the blueprint out at the beginning of the semi-final, you know, where Shane Ryan was under massive pressure for the first 9 or 10 kickouts. Kerry seemed to change their format. They've been using that bunch and break type short kickout, but Tyrone really got on top of Kerry in that first 10-15 minute spell. I think if you look at the two teams, Donegal and Kerry, Donegal were quite similar against Meath too. They didn't put a massive press on Meath's kickout at the beginning. There's more a kind of a sussing out phase almost, you know, to see what the opposition is coming with and then, you know, how they're going to deal with it. I can see both teams, you know, that momentum, and momentum has become a huge factor now in the game, whether it's the new rules or the two pointers. But I think when a keeper loses one kick out, I think all opposition teams know to go heavy, go hard on the next kick out, because if you lose two in a row, you know, you're under huge pressure then, and carried on a Dharma in the blink of an eye, you know, in the 10-12 minute spell, penned them into their own half of the pitch and really essentially won the game based on that. With the two keepers between the sticks this weekend, that's not going to be as easy to do, you know. Both Shane Ryan, Sean, well, you know, they might lose one or two, but can a team really, really press on Sean Patton, you know, with that weapon you've seen there in the semi-final with the kick-out he had against Meath, like one bounce and it landed up at the large D on the far end of the pitch and a point straight away. You have Murphy coming for that flick, you know, and so can Kerry really, will they back themselves to really go for that press? And that's going to be the calls that I suppose the management teams are going to have to do. I can't see a team going out and doing the same thing for 70 minutes, so I think there's going to be ups and downs and fits and starts, and there'll be phases that they'll target that they're going to really go at the game. But I think the period of the game that's really been the winner for both these teams is that 40 minute mark to the 55 minute mark, and that's the time I think the first half will probably take care of itself, as in they'll suss each other out, they'll do enough to stay in the game. But between that 15-20 minute spell, I think both teams are probably just going to go at it. And I would think, looking at the two teams, that Donegal might just have the edge fitness-wise around that period of time, that Kerry probably won't have met a sustained, you know, fitness and speed around the middle of the park, and hopefully that'll be enough to turn the tides during that time for Donegal.
Good man, good man. Porky Patton's here tonight as well, Sean's dad. Give it up for him. Ryan, you're a top forward in your day. Listen, Foley's going to pick up Murphy. Darren Murphy's going to pick up Gallen. Casey on O'Donnell. At the other end of the pitch, the two Gainies aren't going that well. It's all about Clifford, right? So, you know, when you look at it, right, we have so many breakers. Shane O'Donnell, Murr, Mogan coming from deep. You know, Langan. Like, you're looking at stopping this Donegal team at the minute. And the way they played in the last, say, two halves and then the Meath game, I'm just thinking that this Meath now about trying to shut Donegal down, is it near impossibility in terms of we've got so many strike runners and so many big boys who can drop the shoulder. Kerry have a couple of real golden nuggets. Is it a case of two very different approaches to the game?
Yeah, I think it is. I think once Donegal get up to speed and start that running game, the fact that we have 10, 12 players that can play in any position on the pitch, I think that's what makes us so comfortable. Watching the last day, one time in the second half, it was Michael Langan, Keelan McColgan and somebody else on the full forward line taking a break, and you had Paddy McBurdy out in the middle of the field harassing and tackling. So I think Donegal's very comfortable wherever they play in the pitch. I just think we have far too much strength in our pace and our running power. But I do think this game we're going to have to work harder out the pitch. We're going to put more pressure on Kerry kicking that ball inside. I think what we've done in the Meath game and the Monaghan game, it's not going to be good enough. We're going to have to, you know, if we lose possession, we're going to have to hit them early, hit them hard, put pressure on at the field. We can't have them kicking in 70, 30 balls into Clifford or any of the Kerry forwards. We know that's their strength, and I think we're going to have somebody sitting back in that pocket a wee bit in front of Clifford to give McCall a bit of help. But I think that's the key in this game, out around the middle. We're going to have to harass, tackle hard, be ferocious, and stop the easy ball coming inside. You know, if we can do that, I just don't think, I can't see Kerry living with our running power. You know, I just can't see it.
I suppose Ronan mentioned earlier too, but he called it the dark arts and things, and I know there's so much made it different.
He never explained them, but...
But there's so much made it said about David Clifford and all, you know, justified, but... You know, he's been to Croke Park on All-Ireland final day before and came out the wrong end of it. You know, McFitzsimon done a decent job. So when you talk about those dark arts, you know, when one or two things go wrong, I suppose that's going to be brought up or
come on, mentioned Frank.
Or word in the ear. And I suppose if you were to pick a fallback in Ireland at the minute that you would want to go toe-to-toe with David Clifford, I think Brendan McCall is top of that list. And if you go through any of the names that...
Yep.
I suppose if you go through the names, like, you know, Darragh Canavan, Rain O'Neill, that Brendan has marked in the past, you know, none of those players has featured heavily in games, and I think he's probably got that defensive style that he's not looking to go wrestling, he's not looking to get involved in heavy tackling, you know, so he's well suited, and I do think that collective of Donegal system, I don't think they're going to leave the gaps for like Clifford and his V cuts or whatever name they put it in it now, you know, what they used against Tyrone. I don't think that space is going to be there against Donegal, that they're going to be sitting that bit deeper. So I suppose there's a lot of things that would make you hopeful going into the game on Sunday.
Yeah, we certainly hope so, folks. We're down the last couple of minutes. Folks, I'm just thinking, you know, however tight it is, we have McGee, McBertie, Darrell Boyle, McFadden, Ferry. We have such a great bench. Who else would play Patrick Mogan at cornerback? You know, Donegal are called a defensive kind of team. No, we're not. We're just smart. But we have a wealth of forwards, and when we get the ball, we break and we destroy, and even McNamee supporting us on Sunday. Up to the goal.
The thing about it is, we'll be back for the closing minutes with our panel very, very soon. We'll speak to a couple of guests that we have here. The camera wants to follow me over this side. John Gilday, former Donegal midfielder. Up you come, John. Oh, how's that, hips?
Probably like yours. Not good.
John, if you get your hands on David Clifford, what would you do with him?
I just think the very fact that you're ambitious enough to think that I could even remotely come close enough to David just to get my hands on him is a problem. But listen, he's a unique individual. We'll have our work cut out for us, but he's gone, as Frank said, he's gone to Croke Park before and he's failed. And obviously Jim will have his tactics well, so it won't be Brendan McCall, it'll be a full team effort to shut him down and stop the ball going inside, but I would be very confident that we're going to come out the right side of it. I don't think that Kerry are going to be able to live with this Donegal's running power, and just the level of belief that Jim has instilled in the players, but the entire county, and just to give you an anecdote on belief, I would be relatively cynical as you can get older, and two things. I booked the All-Ireland Final Hotel 3 months ago. And then we got a new pup about 7 weeks ago, and we called him Sam. So, for the pup's sake, we better won.
You sound very confident. We are going to win what we're going to win by.
My wife loves the pub. Yeah, listen, I've been bullish all along. I think we're going to come out plus six. I sat up close in the semi-final, and I've said it to people multiple times. I've never seen a team in Croke Park as physical and as pacey anywhere. And I think, you know, the old adage about everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And I think this Donegal team has the capability of physically punching you in the face. And I think that's what they need to do against Kerry. Go at them and go at them. And I don't think we've seen a full 70-minute performance from Donegal yet. And I'm confident that Jim has it in them. And I do believe we're going to come out the right side of it.
Is there no worry there at all? Kerry have, what, this been third final in 4 years? Is it noteworthy at all? These guys have been on this big stage, and 2014 we beat the Dubs, and there was this aura around Donegal that we beat the invincible Dublin team, and then it didn't go away in the final, probably against, some might say, the worst Kerry team to ever win in All-Ireland, and it didn't work out for us on that day. Is there no concern at all in the back of that head of yours? But I was going to describe it with something there, and I thought, no, better not, we're on radio here.
We're on the radio. I just think this is the wrong room to be in any way sceptical.
Right.
So we're going to win. Just go with that. Okay. But no, listen, Kerry deserve the utmost respect. You know, they show up on Croke Park. They've had an easier run in. We've had 10.5, 11 games at this stage, so you'd think wear and tear. But we're very lucky or very well organised to the point where we're going into this game with a full squad. Everybody's coming back. Big Keelan came on the last day as well and looked hungry. So we have everything going for us right now to push on. And I do think that just deep down, I feel that they're not going to leave it behind them. I think they're going to perform. I don't think those young guys have any fear. Fimber Rorty, no fear. Kieran Moore, no fear. Shane O'Donnell, no fear. It's not going to make any difference to them. And then you look at how some of those players have come on over the last number of months. Conor Donnell is a transformed player over the last 24 months. Like, he's strutting around Croke Park like he belongs there. So while Kerry have all the pedigree and the big names and the Cliffords in this world, I think come next Monday we'll be talking about our own Cliffords. We'll be talking about Michael Murphy, how well he's done, and him almost 70 years of age. Also, I think should be noted, I know Anthony and Tony and the wee man were here earlier on, so it's a bit like the wedding at Cana in reverse. All the good stuff came at the beginning and then you're heading towards the back end of it. But
is that so much fair and unfair in the boys?
Well, I don't know who's after me, but Anthony was talking outside, so I'm probably announce it here for him that if Donegal do one on Sunday, he'll be announcing his run for the presidency on Monday. So, and Kieran Brogan spoke so well that he's the campaign manager, so it's all sorted.
John Gilday, everybody. Hello, John.
Yep.
Just watch yourself there, sir. I'm just going to move this seat to let this gentleman come out beside me. Dave, you want to join me here? Give this man a round of applause. If you don't know him, this is Dave the Soup Gallagher. Up from Dublin, and if you remember in Clonus, the day that Michael Murphy retired, there was an ambulance called for a gentleman who took a heart attack in Clonus on that day. And I'm delighted to say that he's standing beside us tonight. Give a round of applause. You're looking well, Dave.
Thank you. Yes, it's fantastic to be here. I thought I was a goner in 2012. When I had the heart attack going into Clonus. So I have to thank those paramedics. Also, believe it or not, it was an Armagh fella who saved me. His father was a well-known Armagh player, Paddy Moriarty. He won an All-Star in 1974. And it was his son, Finian Moriarty, who saved my life. He broke 3 ribs, and I was dead for 5 minutes. And I rang Moriarty, you know, when I got out of the hospital, Black Rock Clinic in Dublin, and they said, "Mr. Moriarty, I have to sue you for breaking my ribs." So there you are. So thank God I'm fine and healthy. I'm looking forward if I get a ticket on Sunday to the All-Ireland final.
Well, obviously, the man above done wonders for you that day and got you back going again. Would the man above have any tickets? Because nobody else seems to have any. Can you help us out?
Well, obviously the man above was looking down upon me and said, "Please don't go yet. We have an All-Ireland final to come up in 2025, which will be next Sunday."
How are we going to fare out Sunday then?
I'm very confident. I think Donegal's going to win by 2 points. So there you are. There's all this word about Clifford and all this, but we have a great back here, McCall, and I think he will definitely handle Clifford no problem whatsoever.
There you go. Brilliant stuff. David Sutgaller, give him a round of applause. Delighted to see him here. I love the retro jersey, and he's got the green trousers on too. He's fully kit. Right, Pius, will we give away another? Who wants a goodie bag? We were supposed to be finished on air at 10 o'clock and it's now nearly 10:05. It's okay. We're allowed to go longer because we're going to an All-Ireland final. And we're not done yet. There's still more music to come. More from the guys. Who picked that out? Frank.
The hooter hasn't gone yet, Oisin.
Oh, good man. Well, if it goes, we keep going to the stop and the ball goes out of play.
Good point, my man.
This just says the Friend family. Come on up. Up you come, one of you. They're arguing now who's going to come up. Oh, what damage did you do to yourself? She's in crutches. Did he make you come up here and you in crutches? Hang on a minute here. Wait a minute. Get up here, you and me, boy. Come on, up you come. I'm going to name you and shame you now. You tell your wife, partner, daughter?
Daughter.
Right. What's your name?
Kieran.
Kieran Friend. Yes.
Rachel.
Leave gone.
Rachel. I think, Rachel, we should give you the goodie bag and he gets nothing. Because he made you hobble the whole way up here. Is that a sports injury or a Saturday night out injury? Or?
Sports injury.
Okay.
Knee replacement.
A knee replacement, my God. And you better come up here.
Yeah.
Okay. Give them a round of applause. The Friend family. Where are you from? Newton Cunningham.
We've called you know big to you, man. This.
What do you say? What do you say? You can carry the bag.
I'll carry it for her.
What's there? So you bit wet come down. Give him a round of applause. Well done. Okay.
Anthony Malloy is now knee bandage from 92 in there if you want.
Packy G, who's Packy G? Good man, Paggy, up you come.
The G is for gangster.
Well, one more to give, two to give away, Pius. One more, please. Once again, many thanks to Michael Murphy's Sports and Leisure for these wonderful goodie bags. There's a voucher for Michael Murphy's, plus there's all your essentials that you need for the All-Ireland Final. And thanks to the Backstage Restaurant, to Watson's Menswear, to O'Donnell's Fuels, in Crawley, Kilmacrennan and Illustrin, and also to the soundest guys on the planet in Callaghan Electrical, who have kindly given us vouchers as well. And Paggy G, who's the G? Where's the G from?
Gallagher.
Gallagher from where?
Cajun Rovers.
Oh, Cajun.
Tony Boyle.
Ian Pace to get on well. Are we going to win on Sunday?
I think so, aye.
Very good. Well, I've got a headband and there's a football and bunting and the whole lot on there for you. You'll need to get it on. We'll get you converted.
Yeah, I think Tony will get a ticket for us, so we'll be all right.
All right, very good. Good on you. Good man, Paggy. Good to see you. Thanks for coming. And our... Is it Sean Hegarty? Or Herity, sorry? Sean Herity. Over the far side. Where are you, Sean? Sean Herity. Sean, we can hear you, but we can't see you. Oh, he's coming this side. How do you do that? You meant noise over there.
Magic.
Where are you from, Sean?
Remelton.
Remelton. Any tickets for us?
I've known for his sale yet.
Right, well, I was hoping you would give me one if I give you a goodie bag.
If you have a ticket, I'll give you one. All
right, then. Sean, enjoy the goodie bag. All right, good man. Well done. There you go. I'll get back up on stage here. Once again, thank you very much indeed to everybody who donated tonight to get Ben with a chance of winning a goodie bag, because it's all going to a very good cause. Northwest Special Olympics, and we've got Pat and all his team, Natalie and all the rest of the girls here who've done wonderful work tonight, so give them a round of applause as well. We were delighted to help out the Northwest Special Olympics. And what we'll do, because we've got lots of shows happening through the week, we'll announce in the coming days what we've raised for the Northwest Special Olympics. And likewise, we'll also be announcing too in the coming days what we have raised for the Donegal Team Training Fund. If you haven't got your ticket, go to highlandradio.com. There's a draw there. Two tickets courtesy of AirGrid, plus an overnight stay in the Harcourt Hotel on the night before the match. It's just €5 for one or three for ten. If you can't get a ticket, that might be your best option. And now, we're going to go back to our panel, to the guys that have won All-Irelands in 2012 and 2021, to wrap up our evening tonight, the launch of a road to Croker here in the Clannery in association with Highland Motors. It's back to our host, Mr. Brendan Devaney.
Are you going to make the hooter noise?
No. Oh, later on. Later on.
You let me know. Talk about John Gilday's lovely head, by the way.
John?
I was a bit of a person for nicknaming people in the squad, and John had a strange kind of autumn sunrise hair back in the day. But he looked like it was mahogany, so I nicknamed Mahogany Head, right? But I never said it to him because he killed me with a punch, kind of thing. So I never told him I called him that, but I always called him Mahogany Head when he wasn't about. But then at one of the charity balls there, he was over with my sister Arlene, come up to me, Brendan used to call you Mahogany Head. And I was like, Jesus, don't shut the guy, be quiet. But it's, hey, shrewd, booking tickets and booking hotels ahead of time. He's a smart guy, John Gilday.
Who had the best nickname in the 2012 Donegal squad? And why was he given that nickname? Brian, you're laughing, you might as well tell us.
Nobody's left in the bike.
Hey, Roland, you were right. They say nothing.
There's a few of them. I suppose the big one that probably stick out is Paul Durkin and Papa. Don't ask me why it's Papa.
You can do better than that one.
And Neil McGee was Franny for some reason. Don't ask me why.
There was no more Jimmy Tunes, though, for my time.
No, but Jimmy Tunes was mentioned odd time, yeah. Still
never
from,
face.
From Brendan's time. You know, so the stories that back that up, then I suppose they can be shared at another time, maybe. But Jimmy Tunes was always mentioned as well. Yeah,
Brendan Gerald Sullivan played by an international. He had a great nickname. It was called One Step because he always went one step too far. So that's what all the Cork boys called him, One Step. I thought that was a good nickname. So
some of our boys could have been three or four steps.
Good time. So what do you think, running back? John Gilday's not happy with Donegal's performance, even against me. 3:26, 3:24 from play, but you want more, John. I like your style. You want more. What do you reckon this going into it then, Ronnie, in terms of the two teams, in terms of the bookies now who were evens all week? I've seen some of them now start to slant towards Kerry. Like, as a neutral here, we're obviously all Donegal, and in my head, I'm building the case all the time, but where do you actually see the game going in terms of them real tight moments?
I was chatting about this last night. Like, it's very 50-50 in my head, to be brutally honest. I don't see either team winning by an awful lot. I just think Kerry's been about too long, too shrewd to be going in green as such. Like, the Donegal runners aspect 100%, but Kerry's not a bad side. Filled, that team of theirs is filled with talent, you know, and it's Donegal have an unbelievable bench and a really strong side, but Kerry will back themselves 100%. They'll take the fitness thing personal, that Donegal's going to be fitter than them, which, like, any team that's training to this time of year is not going to be unfit, to be brutally honest. I think it could go down to the wire. Hoping for Kerry.
I love it.
I want to mess and relax. Oh, relax.
Frank, we got to talk.
I hope your car is close to the back door.
Frank, do we track Sean O'Shea and Paddy Clifford? What do you think's going to happen in that? Obviously, McCall Clifford, right? Outside lad, is Owen Bann going to track Sean O'Shea? Is someone going to come out like a Murr or maybe a McColgan, given a marking job to go after Paddy Clifford? Because they do make them tick. And if we don't, are we leaving ourselves a wee bit exposed to a potential two-pointer? How do you think that's going to play out?
I don't think we do goal chasing them or man marking. We haven't done it all year, you know. And even if you look back as far as the Armagh game, you probably would have pinpointed Oisin Conaty, you know, as their main player, you know, and he did do damage, you know, coming running through the middle. But we still didn't break from our defensive shape, you know, and sitting that bit deeper to push out. Because I suppose once you push two, if you take two out of that mass of bodies, you know, leaves you defending, you know, with the nine players, which is, it's difficult then. So it is. So I suppose they're probably gonna go so far and sit around the edge, you know. And if Kerry are willing to chance in All Ireland on 2 point shots, you know, that goes either one way or the other. And very quickly, if you miss a couple of those 2 pointers that you go for, the confidence just isn't there to go again. So I suppose it's going to come down to just really, and it's such a cliche, so it is, you know, but it's just really all in the day. If someone's been there, you know, that you're on one side where you've won in All Ireland, and I suppose some of the earlier panel mentioned that, you know, you only remember the ones you won. You remember, you don't want to remember the ones you lose, you know, and it's probably that nervous feeling. And even this week, and even going to the games, you know, this year already, you know, this group is good enough to win All Ireland. You know, you go as far as to say they deserve an All Ireland, you know, with the turnaround, the work they're putting in, the effort they're putting in. But, you know, in life, it doesn't always work out like that. And you do need that little slice of luck, you know, on All Ireland final day. And hoping, you know, with the work that these boys have done, that's enough to get that luck on their side. And that's the one thing that you hope for on the day, that when the ball bounces, it bounces your way, you know, in those fine moments. And I do think it's going to come down to them fine moments. If Donegal's in the game with 45, 50 minutes, I do see them going down the straight and getting the better of Kerry. And it's been in that game, so it is at that time.
Yeah. Ryan, just on Kerry, obviously the season they had, the Cork nearly beat them in Munster, you know, the way Meath beat them, you know, they are coming good now, but, you know, they were stung unbelievably, criticised in their own county by ex-players, and that the big performance was going to come really against Tyrone, like that siege mentality we keep talking, but that's gone now. Like, they've been stung, they've answered it, they played really well against Tyrone. They're coming into the final now against Donegal, who are on an upward trajectory. Clean bill of health, your own man, even Keelan's back. Like, everything's prime now for this final, for us, as I see it, more than them. They have a few injuries. There's talk about Jeremy O'Connor going back. Obviously, Joe O'Connor had a brilliant game the last day for them around midfield, but they are missing a few players. But we have a full squad, and surely, if it is tight going down the stretch, which I expected, then we have the bench to beat Kerry.
I definitely would have to agree with that. I still think we have better footballers all round. I still think we're a stronger 15 and a stronger bench. But it is going to come down to on the day. And I think a key thing is kickouts. We have to win our own kickouts and put a lot of pressure on their kickouts. I think if we can get in top there and cut out the possession inside, Kerry's possession inside the Cliffords and Sean O'Shea, I just think the boys coming off the bench, you look at Paddy McBurty the last two games, he's been brilliant in Monaghan and Meath, and as you say, Keelan looked good when he came on the last day, looked hungry, Keelan McGonagall, so hoping he'll not be far away this Sunday also, but I just think, maybe it's just been Donegal biased, you know, I just think we are stronger, we have a better running game, I think we have more scoring footballers than them at the minute too. I just can't see Donegal getting beat, you know.
200%. Folks, we're down the last few minutes here. We're going to give Ronan McNamee one more chance to tell us about the dark arts and David Clifford.
I'll tell you about dark arts. It's not that dark. Dark arts is dark arts regards to tickets. I was at the hurling final yesterday and was chatting to a man at half time that paid €50 to get in the gate. So any man, woman or child that doesn't have a ticket, get to Dublin and get the €50 out. Yes.
Brilliant. Where there's a will, there's a way. It was a friend of mine actually invited us over to Wimbledon. And I was like, how do you get tickets for Shendigo? He goes, I don't. We pay you in and then I pay you, boy. They get you in, they want the free seats. I was like, all right. Well, there's a will, there's a way. But you're getting hit. Everybody's getting hit for tickets. But you've got connections, right?
Connections everywhere, man. Everywhere. Nobody in this room safe. Nobody.
Frank, what about you? You're taking over management and all now. You're getting in that tactical headspace. And listen, how much have you learned now from Jim in terms of applying that to the Glenfinnan?
I suppose you probably learn probably not to try and copy things that Jim does. There's very few probably that can.
You're doing well so far.
Can pull it off. But there is. Like, there's no getting away working, you know, with, you take something from every county manager, from every club manager, from every underage manager that you work under. There's always something that can be learned from every manager, but there's just so many things that seems to stick in your head from things that Jim used to say, you know, that seems to just rebound in your head or ricochet, you know, always pop back into your head. And
surely Deanne's weighing in with tactics as well. She knows her football.
She does, yeah. In fairness, yeah. She does.
Is she picking the team now?
No, not yet. But we haven't started a championship yet, Brendan. She probably will when championship comes. But, it's a different side of things. That tactical side of things, even when we go to games now, I've said to Deanne before, I don't actually enjoy watching games. You're still in that mindset of looking out to see what's happening. Even you find yourself, when the goal goes into the back of the net, you find yourself seeing, is everybody getting switched back on to get back out to shut down the next kick out, you know? So it's very hard to be on the other side and sit back and enjoy games. But towards the end of that Meath game, you know, sitting back, you finally maybe got a little inkling into what it was like for supporters to watch you when you're out in that pitch, you know, with the movement, the pace of the Donegal team. You could almost feel the surge of energy from Croke Park, you know, when Donegal turned the ball over and some of the players, you know, like Finbar Rorty and Kier Moore, and those took off and those big, massive runs up the field. And to look out, it looks so simple. But, you know, it's far from simple. So it is when you're out in the field in the 67th, 68th minute and you've still the legs to make an 80, 90 metre sprint up the field. And most of the time, some of those boys, there's four or five of those boys making those runs, they don't even get on the end of those runs. They just turn, tuck tail and back into the defence again, you know. So it's... You know, it gives such pleasure to sit out and watch from the stands, you know, to see the joy that it brings. And even someone mentioned, you know, the lift that it gives the county. I suppose there's so much nonsense out there when you look at the news today, you know. So it's nice to have these 2 weeks, and I suppose Donegal and Postkerry are saying the same. It's nice to have something that's positive, you know, within the county that we can all, I suppose, focus on and get behind.
Very well put, Frank. Ryan, I just got, Frank mentioned there, and I think it's so critical to all this here. What Jim has instilled in terms of mindset, we all know, but that thing, and he often said it to me quite a few times, but looking the guy in the eye and know that you've done the work, you know, knowing that fitness and strength is in you. So when you were preparing for the final in 2012, did you know, I'm ready? So you weren't actually, you're obviously going to have a bit of butterflies and nerves, but did you feel, I'm ready, the team's ready, we're going to beat Mayo?
We honestly did. We actually went out most championship games that year. We never thought we were getting beat. You know, he had us believing that if we played the way we trained and followed his instructions, that we would win games. And he nearly called the results at half time. We'd be this up at half time, this many points ahead. It makes you believe that, you know. It makes you believe that you're the best team. And that's the first thing he'd done with us when he got us together. Donegal was ranked 18th or 19th in the country, and he says we're going to be number one, and we ended up being number one. And I believe one of he's our players thinking the exact same. He's making them believe that they're the best players in Ireland, and they're the best team in Ireland, and they do have the work done, and we had the work done too in 2012, and we were full of confidence, and well, especially when that goal and then from Michael, then it kind of set us up for the rest of the game. But I've no doubt the boys have all the work done, and they'd be confident going out on Sunday, you know, and I think they'll have no, they'll do it. We'll definitely do it.
They'll do it. Folks, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. I've got a new mic and new batteries here, so we might keep going, aren't you now?
What's that, sorry, Brendan?
I've got a new mic with new fresh batteries, so we can...
This hooter's about to go.
You're going to make the noise.
So it is.
Listen,
we'll wrap it up, get the predictions of the guys. Go ahead.
Listen, anyway, two guys, listen. Maybe, do you think there'll be more than a couple of points in it, lads, for Donegal?
No, I don't think any more than two to three points to be tight, yep.
Two or three?
To Donegal.
Three or four points.
Three or four. Mac. It's very important.
What are you joking?
Here it comes.
Like, probably agree with the boys that
might just shade it. Donegal.
Yeah. Over to you, Ashley.
Hi. He found that hard to say.
You have no idea, man.
He's playing the crowd. He's playing the crowd here, I think.
He's looking around thinking to himself, will I be safe if I get out of here? Will I be safe getting out of here if I say something else?
His breakfast tomorrow morning, Micheál was going to cancel it there. He would have got nothing.
So, listen, a round of applause for the panel up here. Mr. Ryan Bradley, Frank McGlynn, and we thank Ronan McNamee for coming down tonight. And a round of applause for our 92 guys as well. They're still there. We've got Tony Boyle, Anthony Malloy, and of course, Martin McHugh, part of our panel tonight too, and everybody else that that contributed. And we can't forget about the main man, Mr. Brendan Devaney. You see, we got him a new shirt.
That's coming out of the way.
And he didn't spill anything on it. It'll be clean now for the weekend. Just to tee you up, we'll get David organised over in the corner. Come on, David, get tuned up there. We're going to have a few pieces of music before we finish. But we are going to Dublin this weekend. Highland Radio's Road to Croker. We launched it tonight. We started tonight in emphatic fashion right here in the Clannery Hotel. Over 500 people have joined us tonight in this room to drum up the big match atmosphere in the build-up and get stuck in to this All-Ireland final. Delighted that you could all be here tonight. We've had a wonderful evening. And we're going to Dublin in association with Highland Motors this coming weekend. I'll try and do this before the voice gives up. Saturday night, we'll be opening the D2 at the Harcourt Hotel, which is Donegal owned by the McGill family in Glenties. We'll be talking to the supporters. We're going to have giveaways. O'Reilly Sports Retro Donegal tops to give away on the night. And we'll be kicking that off at 8 o'clock. On Sunday, if you're going to the match, if you're in Dublin or coming down from the north, going to the match, go to the Bonnington Hotel. Join us for a live show from 11 to 1. We'll have Greg Hughes there. We'll be talking to all the Donegal supporters. We'll have brilliant live music. A certain Rory Gallagher of Jimmy's Winning Matches fame will be joining us. Don't know why Brendan Devaney's walking towards me. He will be joining us on Sunday. So come down, get fueled up. You can get your breakfast there. Cost €20, and all you can eat buffet if you want breakfast. But the show itself is free. So come and join us in the big room, in the function room in the Bonnington. It'll be a great morning. And then we'll finish off our road to Croker. The final stop on the road to Croker is, of course, full commentary from the match. We'll be live from after 2 on Sunday. Brendan, of course, will be there. Double jobbing, by the way. He's on the TV too. We're only second him on Sunday, but he will be coming up to us. Tony Boyle will be there. Brendan Kilcoyne will be there as well. We'll have full live match commentary. If you're not in Dublin, you can tune Highlands Way, of course. And at the end of the day, we all hope that we will be doing what? Bringing the Sam Maguire back to Donegal.
Folks, can I just say, first of all, and I'm a bit of a, like, off the top of my head type guy. No planning, no nod, no structure. Just let it roll. This man here puts everything together, and without him, there'd be no show. So give it up for Oisín Kelly. And listen, the Devaneys have come into the building. They're sharing plenty of tickets down the back. Arlene and Maria. Gotcha.
Okay, what about a chin? We're looking for this Sam Maguire back in the hills. Standing over there, we've got
thanks,
David Craig.
Go for the comedy. Great to be here, folks. Thanks so much. And Jim, I can't believe it. You're back to win it again. And you brought back Michael Murphy. Your limits have no ends. It broke our hearts to let you go, but we had to understand. So now you're back in Donegal. It's time to bring back Sam. Come on, Sam Maguire. Come back to Donegal. We'll take you to the top of the hill, and you'll sit proud and tall. A memory of 2012 comes back to one and all. So come on, Sam Maguire. Come on back to Donegal. You came to us, and here you go. You had a road to plan. But 2 years in, you had a win. You brought back home the sun. Now that you're back home again, the hills, they are alive. We're headed down to Croker with that hunger in our eyes. I'll not forget that Saturday up from the Hogan Stand. I thought the race was over as we took on Monaghan. Oh, the second half, it started, and nice to see it yet. Sing it! When Michael Langan got the ball and he hit the back of the net. Come on, Sam McGuire, come back to Donegal. We'll take you to the top of the hill, and you'll sit proud and tall. A memory of 2012 is back to one and all. So come on, Sam McGuire, come on back to Donegal. You have a team of men, you know just what to do. You have Murphy, Callum Morgan, Pat Thompson and McHugh. McBertie, Langan, Gallagher, Rorty and Old Wheel. So many greats from Donegal go tearing up the field. From Ballymafe to Clonus, we travelled every road. So many games, so little time, they stretched the green and gold. Boys of Donegal, they're tough, they won't lie down. We'll cheer for Jim and all the boys when Sam goes back to town. Sing it! Come on, Sam McGuire, come on, back to Donegal. We'll take you to the top of the hill, you'll sit there proud and tall. A memory of 2012 comes back to one and all. So come on, Sam McGuire, he is known, Irish. Come on, Sam McGuire, to the hills of Donegal. We'll take you to the top of the hill, and you'll sit proud and tall. A memory of 2012 comes back to one and all. So come on, Sam McGuire, let's hear for Oisín go. Now you listen.
I thought he was going to Irish dance for us there.
I'm going to need your mic.
Go ahead.
I'm going to need your mic. Listen, we're almost done for tonight. Have you all had a good night? Yeah! We've had a wonderful time. Thanks all for being here tonight, okay? We're supporting the Donegal Team Training Fund in the Northwest Special Olympics. So thank you very much. And for everybody who tuned in tonight on the radio and online, we've been getting tons of messages to say how much they were enjoying the broadcast. So thanks to everybody who tuned in as well. And there's only one more thing left to do tonight. And that is to wish Jim McGuinness, his management team, the players, and everybody involved in Donegal GAA, the very best of luck this coming Sunday in the All-Ireland Final. Fingers crossed, ears open, we're going to get Sam back in the hills. Well, we have one more song to finish off. Right, everybody on their feet. Up, Donegal. David, take it away.
There's only one song to finish with tonight, folks. Let's get everybody to grab their hands in. Up, up. You all know it as well. Sing it with me, come on. You may talk about Atlantis, how it's lost beneath the sea, and the grave of the unknown soldier, and the cry of the old banshee. There was a man in the iron mask, the shack, the river set free. And last of all, it's Donegal, it's still a mystery. Where do I go? Where? In my good and beautiful round of Donegal, the north, the south, keep them up, but God, it build its all. Casino, shake and rogers, I legalize them all. We'll have our own Las Vegas in the hills of Donegal. Your turn, sing it! In the hills of Donegal. Hey! Well, day away pubs and all night clubs, blackjack and roulette. Even Blair, Richard Nielsen, Mike Tyson having a bet. And any show could then be known for multi-millionaires. And Donald Trump would like a chump to live in solid air. Come on! And if I could build a wall around the Donegal, the north, the south, the key. stage and dance if you want. Don't be shy. We'll stand and stop a miracle to give you such a thrill. I heard them said in Kerry, the Sabbath for the hills. But don't be spared, cause if you dare, the answer lies with me. Here's the one that's steep ago, achieved somewhere in Germany. Last one, come on!
And it might be good, I'd build a wall around the Donegal. The north and south will keep them out, my God, and build it tall. You'll see those chicken ranches, I'll legalize them all. We'll have our own Las Vegas in the hills of Donegal. We can't hear you! Yeah, Las Vegas in the hills of Donegal.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks a million. Great to be here. Good luck to Donegal on Sunday. Let's get those hands, everybody. See you soon. Enjoy the rest of the week. Thanks a million.
Croker in association with Highland Motors Letterkenny and the Dacia's all-new Bigster SUV. Affordability refined. Everything big but the price. Starting at €29,999.